Okay, welcome back to part B of the Light of Day podcast for Saturday, November 12th, 2011. I had mentioned something earlier when I was reading that email newsletter about flooding and all that. I had mentioned something called Obama's new plan system. I don't know if you caught that or not, but that's plan, P-L-A-N, which actually stands for Personal Localized Alerting Network. Now, this was published in the Los Angeles Times on May 10th of this year. It's titled, President Obama Could Send Text Message Warnings Under the New Plan System. Now, this is interconnected to the emergency alert system, folks. Obama, who has been called the texter-in-chief, will soon have the ability to send any cell phone in the U.S. a text message warning of impending danger from a tornado to a terrorist under a new emergency alert system called PLAN. The new system, which was announced Monday, is an expansion of the FCC's emergency alert system, which is currently broadcast over radio and TV. PLAN, which is short for Personal Localized Alerting Network, will first be rolled out in New York City by the end of this year, with the rest of the U.S. to follow in about the middle of next year, the FCC said in a statement. The text message warnings will be able to be sent out to phones and other mobile devices based on their geographic location across different mobile carriers, officials said. PLAN is being rolled out by the FCC and the FEMA with the cooperation of cellular service providers, according to a FEMA statement. FEMA said the system ensures that emergency alerts will not get stuck in highly congested user areas, which can happen with standard mobile voice and texting services. PLAN enables government officials to target emergency alerts to specific geographic areas through cell towers, which pushes the information to dedicated receivers in PLAN-enabled mobile devices. But the president won't be the only one able to issue a text message through PLAN. Local, state, and national government officials will be all able to send public safety alerts through PLAN, which will be run by FEMA and the FCC, officials said. Wireless carriers take part in the system voluntarily, but all who do opt in, including major carriers such as AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon, have to have PLAN technology set up and ready to go by April of next year, FEMA said. Consumers do not need to sign up for the service. Their carrier will automatically sign them up, and they won't be charged for receiving any PLAN text alerts, the agencies said. Only three types of alerts will be sent out on PLAN: messages issued by the president, alerts involving imminent threats to safety of life, and amber alerts. PLAN alerts will also be given a unique attention signal and vibration, which is particularly helpful to people with hearing or vision-related disabilities, FEMA said. Consumers will have the option through their wireless carrier to block all PLAN alerts except for those issued by the president. So here they're essentially telling the public, if you want to survive the earth changes, that's your option. And they have been gradually conditioning the masses to get ready for these cataclysmic earth changes. We've had Glenn Beck telling people that they need to store up on food. Last year, Costco, or may have been this year, I'm not sure, but I heard John Moore state that Costco has gone mainstream with selling emergency survival food in bulk. So gradually, they're alerting the public that something big is coming down. Now, here's something a lot of folks may have forgotten already, but back on April 14th of last year, the U.S. House of Representatives introduced a bill called H.R. 5026, also known as the GRID Act. It was a bill to amend the Federal Power Act to protect the bulk power system and electric infrastructure critical to the defense of the U.S. against cybersecurity and other threats and vulnerabilities. And among these other threats included such things as severe space weather events such as solar storms. It may not have been that exact wording, but I'm telling you that for the sake of this article here. Anyway, it did pass the U.S. House of Representatives on June 9th of last year, and a record of each representative's position was not kept, however. Then there was the Senate version. Now, apparently, there's a politician out there named Representative Fred Upton. He's a Republican up in Michigan. He's got an idea as to what's about to happen. Because he's quoted in an article here as saying, quote, "Some of us read the book The Road. Lots of different scenarios that are out there. We need to be prepared." And he's referring to the post-apocalyptic novel by Cormac McCarthy that depicts a devastated America populated by savage cannibals. Now, from what I read, the House of Representatives' version of this bill was designed to protect the power grid, but the Senate version was not, and the Senate version never came to a final vote. So the Senate version of this bill is much more designed to destroy everything. Plus from time to time we see that physicist Michio Kaku come on with warnings about solar storms, so all this stuff's just adding up. Like I've told you on previous broadcasts I've done, as Planet X ingresses deeper into our inner solar system, it's going to cause the sun to start flaring out, and this is what I believe concerns the elites the most. If you folks out there would like to hear an excellent presentation about impending solar storms that could be 1,000 times worse than Hurricane Katrina, I would encourage you to go to Gary Null's website. He airs a show out of, I believe, New York. And if you go back to through his archives, the show he did October 6th, he did an outstanding radio broadcast on this particular topic of devastating solar storms that we could be in store for soon. One of the prominent researchers on the incoming brown dwarf star, his name is Lucas. I wanted to give you folks a heads up that he'll be on the Chris and Cherie Truth Frequency radio show. I believe it's November 23rd. It's either the 22nd or 23rd. I can't recall what the date is on the email I got from John Scherf up in Milwaukee, but you may want to tune into that broadcast. Now, as a side note here, on Monday night at 9 p.m. Central on ABC, they're going to air a first-ever interview with Gabrielle Giffords, a congresswoman that was shot here in Tucson. It's going to be presented by Diane Sawyer. I just seen a teaser trailer for what they're going to air, and I believe that's really a clone of her. That's a double of her, because she just seems like she's just too well when you hear her talk on there. So you folks might want to check that out. I believe Gabrielle Giffords has what I believe happened was she faked her own death. She was spirited away to one of the underground cities that have been prepared by the elites, or she has actually gone up to the space station, or to one of the variants of the space station, to observe the incoming brown dwarf star as it gets ever so closer to Earth. Keep in mind, she was a high-ranking member on some committee of NASA, so she's considered a higher up at NASA, and here she's married to an astronaut, so you just put the dots together. It's not hard to figure out. I want to read a report here about NASA's body language. NASA's been attempting to take the lead on explaining a sky with two suns, also known as Tatooine Redo, and their renewed attempts to blame the sun when satellite failures begin in earnest. The NASA blitz continues with dispensations of new information on what the new Solar Dynamics Observatory satellite has noted in ultraviolet radiation from the sun, and what the new WISE probe has delivered. How can anyone doubt that NASA is telling the truth about the near presence of Planet X when they are collecting so much information? NASA is blitzing the media these days while their credentials are still good with the public. It is they who have the Hubble, the new SDO satellite, the new WISE probe, so how can anyone question their dispensations of wisdom? If electrical failures happen and no solar flares are present, NASA can preach the new SDO findings about delayed ultraviolet radiation. Does this change the way solar flares have always operated versus a mankind's electrical systems? No, but in the blitz of information from NASA, the public will forget that point. NASA wows them again, or so they hope, when NASA has the WISE probe and has surveyed the entire celestial sky twice. Who but NASA could be so wise about the sky as they have the WISE probe? As part of the blitz, the WISE team held a press conference on near-Earth asteroids during which the subject of objects in the solar system came up. The body language of Amy Mainzer said it all. At 14 to 15 seconds, her eyes dart down and to the right. Notice that just prior to the point at which she states there is nothing hazardous in the outer solar system, she makes a very long eye blink. At 18 to 20 seconds, she seems a bit confused in attempting to finish a difficult concept sentence, and then in mid-sentence, instantaneously reboots herself. She closes her eyes entirely during that exact moment, and then freshly and ever so smoothly flows into an entirely new and obviously well-rehearsed sentence saying, quote, if there is something out there, in summary, Amy Mainzer's body language tells the tale of today's NASA's asteroid news conference. I don't consider myself any type of body language expert, but this was just way too easy. Then there's a YouTube of her body language you can watch. Now, folks, NASA scientists are not chosen for their ability to lie. They are chosen, as we have long asserted, for their tendency to have tunnel vision, to have an accepting rather than a questioning mind, so that they tend to the task placed before them and look no further. This is why membership in the Masons was often used as a selection criteria, as it indicated a willingness to follow nonsensical rules. Faced increasingly with press conferences where bold-faced lies are required, they are put to the test. Lying does not occur within the organization, which requires extreme loyalty and slavish obedience to orders. Thus, Amy was chosen based on her attractive and open face, assumed to be the picture of innocence by her superiors. They should have had her lie to them prior to going before the cameras. Now, quite a few years ago, the elites were obvious in their scramble to their bunkers. Private planes were taking off and bunkers had been drilled into the sides of mountains in Tennessee and Alberta, Canada. It was hoped a few years ago that the common man would be able to see the truth of their words via the behavior of the elite and their governments. They clearly thought the pole shift was about to occur, but were not warning the common man. As in the movie 2012, folks, the common man was the last to be considered while the elites scrambled to save themselves. Now the time of the Planet X passage appears to be looming ever closer again. And without a firm date, how are the elite going to react? Well, back on July 17th of this year, the Queen and the elite of Abu Dhabi are wanting to shelter in Australia. The Bush family has explored Paraguay. The Russian elite are planning to bunker in the Ural Mountains. U.S. politicians are planning to invade Denver. Dick Cheney's enclave in Wyoming is attractive to the ultra-right, and France is lately eyeing Libya's oil and aquifer. But trying to maintain the cover-up while being able to suddenly escape is not all that easy. The elite will reveal their plans and even the locations of their bunkers, believe it or not. Now, when the passage comes, the elite's exodus will be packaged as being unavailable, or they will be absent from meetings without an explanation. They may have staff or underlings lie for them, claiming illness such as the flu or a family emergency. It's quite possible that such exits may happen repeatedly, with the person returning to their job if the anticipated catastrophe does not occur. The danger, of course, folks, is that such repeated exits run the risk of discovery, so the safe location and exit route become known and the behavior is questioned. The bunker location is always a carefully guarded secret. Most in the establishment have several locations lined up in case of discovery or in case they are caught away from their primary site. Many can only be reached by small airplane or by car after a plane flight to a wilderness landing strip. Thus, it can be expected that as the last weeks approach, many of the elites will be planning hunting trips or vacation getaways. And many drugs are suddenly in short supply. Since the demand is there and there is scarce regulation on the profits that drug companies can charge, why would this be? Well, since this is a profitable business, there is no reason for shortages other than the fact that the elite are stocking up. Then there's a link here given from October 3rd of this year titled Growing Drug Shortages Create Headaches for Health Officials. Now, folks, since medicines require a prescription from a doctor or some such official, the public cannot simply stock up. The elites have the means and the clout to arrange for doctors' orders and are indeed doing so in order to have supplies sufficient for years in their bunkers. And what about the common man, folks, short on cash and often unable to leave their homes or jobs until the last minute, as where would they go and how would they feed and support themselves and their families? Well, the recent San Diego blackout gives a glimpse into what the government plans to do. On September 8th of this year, a blackout struck San Diego and its vicinity. Then, this was put out by NBC Los Angeles on the following day, September 9th. It could be as widespread from Mexico to Phoenix. San Diego Gas and Electric advised its customers via Twitter at 5:37 p.m. Quote, if you have a personal family emergency plan, please activate it now. So there's just another hint there trying to at least tell us something. The public was told to activate their personal family emergency plan. This was an example of what the public can expect as far as warnings from their government. These plans cover at most a few days, not the duration the public can expect during the last weeks or after the pole shift. Now, family emergency plans are primarily a way of making sure family members find each other at designated spots and have on hand a limited supply of medicines any family member may need. What the San Diego emergency did was give a glimpse into what cities are prepared to do. They are not planning on housing and feeding their own citizens. Given that, at least to date, no governments have alerted their public as to what is coming during the passage of Planet X, and then other than Executive Order 13575, no government appears to be making plans to shelter or feed their populace. What steps are being taken by the public itself? Surprisingly, very little. Denial will be the route taken by over half the populace, even as the proof of our words is at hand. Then there are those, the minority, who realize the warnings are correct but procrastinate for other reasons. Some are waiting for a rescue, an announcement by the government that transport buses and tent cities are awaiting and regular meals will be served. The desire to hold on to the daily life is encouraged by the existence of the cover-up, but even among those who sense they are being lied to and will be abandoned, procrastination may be the norm. One hesitates to give up creature comforts and explain the delay to themselves in many ways. Then we got all these protest events going on around the country. Well, the barter system is expected to replace paper money in the main long before the pole shift. We got these things going on in Oakland, Chicago, Atlanta. Now, over in Greece, they've already, they're starting to turn into a barter network because they're just being battered by an economic crisis over there. Now, what do these trends indicate for the near future? More of the same, but not total collapse of the system, which will remain even while becoming irrelevant. An economic crash would occur because the weather would affect crops and the earthquakes and the like would impact the insurance industry. A second Great Depression resulted, though it has not been called that openly. Controls would be put into place, price freezes, limited banking hours, and government control of the markets akin to legal insider trading. There are protests, like I just told you, worldwide, and increasing use of the barter system should be of no surprise. We have predicted all this from the start. We have predicted that the banks and markets protected from collapse will remain, but that the value of any particular piece of paper will diminish and become essentially meaningless. You will be holding a piece of paper, but not have a buyer. The barter system where things of value are being exchanged will replace this. Then we get in the gas line explosions like a deluge, starting with the patter of single drops and picking up the pace until it is a thunderous noise. Gas line explosions are on the increase. Excluding those caused by a careless homeowner or during construction, the stories of sudden horrific explosions are on the rise, as shown by the documentation. As with the singing, howling stretch zones, explosions when mankind's fragile and rigid infrastructure snaps will only be on the increase. It gives a link to an article about a gas explosion kills one, injures five in Philadelphia. Another one here, Rumalia production reduced after explosion. Another one, warnings helped workers reach safety before Oklahoma gas rig blast. A mall that was closed after a gas blast. Over in the United Kingdom, 8 injured in a factory explosion. Regina refinery explosion injures 10. I guess that happened up in Canada, because that's a CBC article. Now, gas lines, folks, are a very real danger not to be ignored. Gas in any form is a danger. Oil and gas refineries explode when rigid piping cracks. Oil or gas wells explode when the ground around them moves. And the gas distribution lines running under cities are no exception. They likewise will explode. Gas lines, whether along the street or within a home, are rigid. In some cases, automatic shutoff valves can limit the amount of gas available for an explosion by sending a drop in pressure, but this is always after the fact. The explosion has already occurred. Utilizing gas on a planet prone to earthquakes was a mistake to begin with, but man never thinks of the consequences when striving for modern conveniences. We have advised turning off the gas at the street, though when the street explodes and your neighbor's homes are on fire, you're not likely to escape the Holocaust. A better alternative is to live in an area where gas is not available, as in your rural safe location where you will be doing a form of camping while gardening. Campfire at night for cooking and washing, and a bit of friendly light before bed. Nothing explosive there. So that's the end of that report by this newsletter that I get on a weekly basis. Pretty good information. I read those every weekend. You folks may want to check out my Planet X subpage. I just uploaded and posted an interview John DiNardo did here on Wednesday night on Gianni Hayes' show called A New World Order Disorder. Gilbert Erickson was also the guest on that show. It was pretty good. There was a lot of talking over talking. Gianni sort of got sensitive about one topic on there. And then John DiNardo was a guest on Barb Adams' Genesis Network show called America Now. That was November 5th. Now, if anybody could help me or John DiNardo out, we're trying to find a website or some type of graph or something that would show the number of comets that have been hitting the sun over the last few years. Because we're trying to figure out if there's a correlation between comets hitting the sun and, you know, essentially if there's an increase. I did come across this one website last night here. It's a U.S. Navy website. This U.S. Navy website has it updated just to the year 2010. They talk about many bright comets. They're saying that 2010 had been a strange one for SOHO comets, even though they haven't had any really major milestones or discoveries. Then the Navy has seen what appears to be an unusual number of bright Kreutz group comets. There is speculation that an increase in bright Kreutz family could be a precursor to a great comet heading into the solar system. It's just speculation, though. They have to add that at the end just so you don't figure out what's going on. It's just speculation, though. These Kreutz family sun grazer comets routinely hit the sun, but I wish I could find a graph that would show we have more comets hitting the sun, because Planet X has an entourage of accompanying space bodies, conservatively estimated to be at least 250,000 miles on either side of it. Now it's weird because if you look at 2006, there's more comets that year than last year. Well, then again, they could be concealing the data from the public because they don't want the public to realize that there's an increase. Just seems weird that 2006 would have more than 2010 because, rationally thinking, Planet X should be getting much closer at this point of time. You folks out there might want to go check out Professor Jim McCanney's recent shows. He's been talking about the winds of Jupiter. We had an electrical alignment with Jupiter on October 28th, and according to him, he believes the winds are being underreported in various localities around the country. He claims that some of these erratic high-speed straight-level winds that occur for days, many days, sometimes weeks in a row, are caused by electrical alignments in our solar system, and I really believe that. So you want to go check out, I believe it's his October 21st show, might be the 22nd, but well, his most recent show here he did 2 nights ago. I guess he was talking about it again. So that's something very interesting. I never knew that. You can learn a lot from Professor McCanney. I give him full credit for that though, because I know he's very firm assertion about his copyrighted material. Now, when we have these high velocity straight line winds, this can come from an alignment with other planets. It's not necessarily from the sun, because sometimes you'll look at the dynamic pressure of the solar wind and it's essentially zero. So if there's no flaring or CMEs coming in, you might want to check out the any type of electrical alignment with other planets or celestial bodies like comets that are inbound.